Well, folks, again, I want to say happy Thanksgiving. This is the Sunday that we've set aside to worship and recognize the day of Thanksgiving and what it means to us on an individual, personal basis and as God's people. Now, for those of you who have not been here, we have been looking at the 23rd Psalm. It's such a sweet and special psalm and so important to so many of us. And the deeper you go into that psalm, the more there is. So we've only made it through a couple verses. And today we will continue with that psalm as we see how it can tie in to our Thanksgiving Day message. If you've not heard those others, I know everybody has busy lives, but you can go back and see those last three messages on our website. Because David writes the Psalm 23 from the unique perspective of being a shepherd. And we'll go into more of that in just a moment. But one aspect and how that ties into our Thanksgiving Day message is that the shepherd provides for all the needs of the sheep. As the Lord provides for all of our needs, doesn't he? This is Thanksgiving. It's a time to count our blessings, be thankful for not only the gift of life and the health that we have, the ability to come and worship for our family. You know, the list just goes on and on and on. But too often we take for granted, as God's children, I think, the blessings that we have here in this country that other people don't have. And that's the ability to worship without the fear of persecution. So, just a quick little background. And you can find this through most any history source that you want to. I just want to share with you. Back at the beginning and the founding of our country in 1620, a small ship called the Mayflower left Plymouth, England, with 102 passengers, an assortment of religious separatists seeking a new home where they could freely practice their faith, and other individuals lured by the promise of prosperity and land ownership in the New World. After a treacherous and uncomfortable crossing that lasted 66 days, they dropped anchor near the tip of Cape Cod, far north of their intended destination at the mouth of the Hudson River. 1 month later, the Mayflower crossed Massachusetts Bay, where the Pilgrims, as they are now commonly known, began the work of establishing a village at Plymouth. Now, I'm not going into a history lesson, but this is where they met Squanto. Does that name come to memory back from when we were younger about the Indians? What a blessing. You know, sometimes we take for granted the people that come into our lives, but Squanto was a blessing for those people because he taught them how to avoid dangerous plants, what to eat, what not to eat, how to plant corn. And so the next year, the following year, in 1621, after a very rough winter, the English colonists, known as the Pilgrims of Plymouth, and the Wampanoag people celebrate the blessings of the past year. You see, they had a plentiful bounty. If you read the history lessons, it said that men went fowling, meaning that they went turkey hunting. That's where eating turkeys at Thanksgiving comes from, because they had been eating so much seal, so much lobster, and so much seafood, they wanted something from dry land. And there was an abundance of turkey. In addition, they got together with the Indians, and the Indians killed some venison. I believe it was recorded at more than 5 deer. And so they had a large festival and celebrated and gave thanks. But what brought those people here was the freedom that they were after to worship without being persecuted. So many times we were trying to be told that the founding of our countries and that all of our holidays have no true history and religion, but that's not true. This was not taken from a religious source. This was taken from world history. And you can corroborate this for yourself. Thanksgiving Day became an official U.S. holiday in 1863. Abraham Lincoln declared it, and in 1942, the federal government designated the fourth Thursday in November as Thanksgiving, which will be this coming Thursday for us. Thanksgiving, a day of giving thanks, of reflecting on how greatly the Lord has blessed us. And folks, God's Word tells us, and this is going to be the theme as we go through this, He tells us to be thankful. You see, we deceive ourselves when we're not, when we are ungrateful and don't recognize that all we have comes from the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 gives us this: give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And folks, that comes down to a matter of your heart. Paul wrote so much of his letters when he was in a prison, and yet he says to be thankful. Because regardless of our circumstances, nothing can separate us from the love of God. So we have everything that we need to be thankful for with that one thought. But I want to ask you now, as you think about this, and for those of you who aren't with us all the time, I ask a lot of questions. And so now they're going to start coming. You look inside yourself on this Thanksgiving Day that we're recognizing and celebrating. You know, we have things in our life that we may not be so thrilled about and happy about, but there's so much more to be thankful for. So let me ask you some very simple things here. Are you thankful for this day, or did you get up on the wrong side of the bed and not looking forward to the efforts that you'd have to exert to get here? Are you thankful that the Lord gave you the breath of life? You know, we all have our aches and pains. Sometimes we don't look at the day with much encouragement, do we? That's when we need to go to the Lord in prayer. I pray that you went to the Lord in prayer before you came here today. Are you thankful to be here in this house of prayer that is not allowed in so many countries? You see, we need to start reflecting on the simple things, the little things that as people, we could almost call us gluttonous people, we have been so blessed, we take these for granted. Are you thankful for the belief in God and the gift of faith that you have? How many people walk and roam this earth and say there is no God? How pitiful. You see, we can start counting our blessings. The list goes on and on. Are you thankful for the desire to worship? There's people, any direction, you look in any direction, you won't go a tenth of a mile. You'll find people that may say, oh, there's God, but I'm not going to worship Him. I'm not going to spend my time to go to church. But you had the desire in your heart today to come. And many of millions of people in other churches too. Thank God for that. Because that's a spiritual gift, the desire to worship Him. Now let me ask a real question that you probably have tried and you can't do it. Have you ever really tried to stop and count your blessings? You know, some people when they sit down at Thanksgiving, they go around the table and you have to name something you're thankful for. If you truly tried it, you could never do it. They're like raindrops. You could not count them all. God's mercy is new every day. His blessings are new every day. And they're cumulative. They have been from day one of your birth until the last day when you take your last breath. God's faithfulness and mercy is with us always. So, have you truly stopped, if you've ever tried to count them, to thank God for them? We are here today, and the Scriptures tell us, because God's mercies are new every day, we are not consumed. If God was not a merciful God, by our own actions, we would be condemned. But the Lord views us through the loving embrace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Another mercy to be thankful for. So I say and ask these questions for you to start thinking about your life. To start thinking about this Thanksgiving holiday season. It's a time we set aside. And yes, there's so many family activities and things that are great that we enjoy. Those are additional abundance and blessings. But folks, at the very core of it, we need to be thankful for the blessings that God has given us and recognize that they came from His hand. And with grateful hearts, turn our gaze towards heaven and say, thank you, thank you, thank you. To our provider, to our shepherd, as that applies to the 23rd Psalm. Now again, you folks weren't here. For some of you, I'm just going to summarize in about three or four sentences. David is gleefully confidently, with pride claiming the Lord. You see, it is God above, our Creator, who is my shepherd. You need to ask yourselves this same question too. Now, I've stated this for the last three Sundays. Who do you follow in life? Who do you believe leads you through life? David is confident in saying, it is the Lord. It is God. If we think about singing, what a wonderful rendition, Susan. Susan, just to take a pause here, I said this many years ago. She touched my heart one day with a song she sang, and I made almost verbatim this exact comment. When we get to go to heaven, don't you wish and pray and hope that we get to sing like Susan? What a touching rendition this morning. For those of us who can't sing at all, what a blessing that will be. And now I lost my train of thought. But it is the Lord, folks, who gives us the blessings that we have. And we should be thankful for His faithfulness to us. Because it is the Lord who guides us. And then he says, he could have said that he was my king, my creator, all these things are true. But he says that he is my shepherd, which is so personal. Because it is an intimate, very personal relationship that a shepherd has with his sheep. And then as we went through, I shall not want is because the shepherd provides for all the needs of the sheep. And I'm leaving out a lot of stuff. I'm just trying to recap quickly. But you see, that's future tense. I shall not want. Have you ever truly wanted in your life? You know, we've had things that a lot of us have had hard difficulties money-wise. I can remember times it was very difficult to make it, stretch it, make it go around. When I was younger, when in college on my own, I remember days when I sure wish I had more to eat. Not that I was starving, but I just didn't have to eat all I wanted. We've all had hard times. But we never truly wanted like other people have. God has been so good to us. But David is saying this in future tense, looking forward. I shall not want because my confidence is in the shepherd who is the Lord God Almighty. And he makes me to lie down in green pastures. And folks, sheep don't lie down in green pastures very easy. The shepherd has to, one, lead them to green pastures. But sheep are they're very temperamental. We call them Goldilocks-like creatures, a lot so much like people. A sheep will not lay down if they are hungry, if they're bothered by flies and parasites, if there's animosity and tension amongst the flock, one sheep not getting along with another one, or if they're afraid. All those conditions have to be met for a sheep to lie down, but David says, the Lord makes me. You see, God is in control, and he makes me to lie down in green pastures. And he leads me beside the still waters. Another strange thing about sheep, if water's rushing too fast, they won't go near it because they're afraid. They can't swim very well. So the good shepherd leads him to still waters where there's calm and there's peace. Like the good shepherd, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to read the 23rd Psalm just to repeat it again, and then we'll go forward. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a comforting, beautiful sentiment throughout this entire psalm. But folks, today it brings us to the next sentence here. Statement that David makes. And you start asking yourself, what is the meaning? He restores my soul. What does that have to do with thanksgiving? He restores my soul. Well, for me, I'm very basic, so I go back to trying to divide things and dissect them. What's the definition of restore? Restore means to bring back into use something that has been absent for a period of time. Think about that for just a moment. To return something or someone to an earlier good condition or position. You start restoring furniture, restoring cars, restoring homes, whatever you want to. Restoreth, it's also a synonym for refresh. Freshen, recharge, recreate, refreshen, regenerate, rejuvenate, renew, repair, restore, resuscitate, revitalize, revive. And David is saying, He restores my soul. In Hebrew, restoreth means to renew or bring back to a place once enjoyed. Once enjoyed. He restores my soul. So if we take that Hebrew meaning and we put it in context with everything else that we just said in the 23rd Psalm, that the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures and leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. You see, there's a shift here in verse 3. David is praising God for all these wonderful benefits, both in the past and in the future, saying, I shall not want. But he's saying, he restores my soul. You see, that comes from the Lord too. But if we take those definitions to bring back, that means at some point, David's soul, his heart, his spirit, wasn't where it was intended to be, was it? You can't restore something if it's there all along. His heart, his attitude, at least for a little while, was not where it should have been with the Lord. So let me ask you a question now. What about your heart and your attitude this morning? Where is it? You're sitting here. It doesn't matter anybody else in this congregation. We're sitting here under the Lord's auspices. He keeps his eyes on the sparrow. He knows the hearts of his people. Where is your heart today? Are you thankful for all things? What about that list we just went down? Can you even remember one of them that we just said? Are you truly here to worship? Are you thankful for all things, like Paul said to be in Thessalonians? Now, only you can answer that, but if maybe you need to sit up a little straighter and start thinking about it, because the Lord is here with us. So let me ask another question. Have you ever been sad and gloomy? And you really don't have a reason to be, and to me, what makes that worse is you really don't know why. You ever found yourself in that kind of mood? You're just down in the dumps. You don't have any reason to be, but you just are. And you're grumpy. And you don't know why you are, but you just are. There's lots of terms that country people used to use for that. Have you ever been there? I think you have. I have. I think we all have. And David asked a question found in Psalm 42. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. You see, David's asking a question, why am I downcast? Why are you grumpy and gloomy? You don't have any reasons to be. David's asking it. He gives himself the prescription, hope in God. I will yet praise Him. His circumstances will change if we are patient and we have faith in the Lord Almighty. But yet he uses a term. Why are you cast down? And you see, that's unique to a shepherd too. It ties in. When we think of being cast down, we have an image. I think most people, it would bring to mind an image of being very remorse and sad. That's what cast down is. You're just overwhelmed with sorrows. But I want to look at cast down from a shepherd's point of view and look at what that means, because it's an exact parallel for both people, but also for a shepherd caring for a sheep. And never forget, what did Jesus say? I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. You see, no matter how cast down we are, we must never forget we have the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to always remember what He's done for us. That can help us overcome any bad mood that we might be in. Now let's go a little further. The word cast. You know, the King James Bible comes from the 1600s. So a lot of the terminology and the translation of those words into their time had specific meaning to the people, just like new words have specific meanings to us. And it goes through all the translations I can find. Cast. It's an old English term for a sheep that is turned over on its back and it cannot get up again. It's on its back and it can't get up. You ever felt that way? It's actually, a cast sheep is a very pathetic sight. Now there's an image up there of a cast sheep. I actually jokingly said, Angela, I don't need my picture cast up there on a PowerPoint. A cast sheep is on its back and cannot get up. In parallel to our message and understanding of Psalm 23, there's a wonderful book that Philip Keller wrote, The Study of the 23rd Psalm from a Shepherd. Because he was a shepherd. He lived a life of a shepherd for many, many years out in the wilderness with his sheep. And he wrote a beautiful book describing all of his experiences and the perspective that shepherds had and still have to this day. And he wrote the following regarding a cast sheep. A heavy, fat, or long-fleeced sheep will lie down comfortably in some little hollow, as we see in that picture, or depression in the ground. It may roll on its side slightly to stretch out and relax, and then suddenly the center of gravity in the body shifts so that it turns on its back far enough that its feet no longer touch the ground. And then the sheep will feel a sense of panic, and it starts to paw frantically, but its feet aren't touching the ground. And as it lies there struggling, gases begin to build up in the rumen. And as these expand, they tend to retard and cut off the circulation in the extremities of the body, especially the legs. If the weather is very hot and sunny, a cast sheep can die in a few hours. If it is cool and cloudy and rainy, it may survive in this position for several days. But there's so much danger that sheep is in when it's cast down. You know, folks, I'm just going to insert this. When we're cast down, we're in danger too. Because we start believing all the lies that the enemy will insidiously start inserting in our head to believe. We're in danger when we're cast down. Listen to what he says when this happened to him. I would spend hours searching for a single sheep that was missing. As soon as I reached the cast ewe, my very first impulse was to pick it up. I would hold her erect, rubbing her limbs to restore the circulations in her legs. When the sheep started to walk again, she often stumbled, staggered, and collapsed. Little by little, the sheep would regain its equilibrium. It would start to walk steadily and surely, and by, it would dash away to rejoin the others, set free from its fears and frustrations, given another chance to live a little longer. And then he goes to say something that's so perfect. And I hope you can put yourself in the place of that sheep. And what all Jesus does for us. He says, all this pageantry is conveyed to my heart and mind when I repeat the simple statement, He restoreth my soul. You see, it is the Lord who goes in and binds the brokenhearted, isn't He? It's the Lord who can encourage us and lift us up higher. When we are in pits of despair and we have no real reason to. You see, the sheep wandered off. It shouldn't have done it. But the Bible says, like sheep, we have all gone astray. John, again, I'm repeating Jesus' words. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And he does it because he loves us, folks. Did you recognize what David said in that sentence? He restoreth my soul. You see, again, I've been trying to emphasize this as we go through it. It is personal. The Lord is my shepherd. It is your shepherd. It is your relationship with the Lord. He restores your soul. He restores my soul. Because He is the good shepherd and we are the sheep of His pasture. You see, we start counting our blessings and we realize we have a shepherd that knows us by name. He knows us individually. He does it because He loves you. And He knows you. And He restores our souls. You know, folks, sometimes we put ourselves in a downcast frame of mind over the most insignificant things, the most trivial things that really don't mean anything at all. But sometimes we get downcast over serious things, over real things, sometimes over events that are out of our control. We can be deceived at such a time into thinking. When we start listening, remember I told you we're vulnerable to the enemy. We can be deceived into thinking that God is disgusted and fed up with me. I've wandered too far from the fold. And He doesn't care anymore. Folks, this simply is not true. You see, we always have to return to God's Word to find the truth. Our hearts and our emotions will oftentimes lead us astray, and we get cast down because of those emotions and because of Satan's constant attack. But folks, we are always under the Good Shepherd's care. And the good Lord does not give up on His children, even when we're cast down and we may have wandered away. This is found in the Gospel of Matthew, but in Luke, Jesus said, it's described this way in the Gospel of Luke chapter 15, verses 4 through 5. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders. Just like Philip Keller went after that sheep that was on its back. And he embraces the sheep. And he resuscitates the sheep. He revives the sheep. God does the same thing for us, folks, and He restores our soul. It brings us back to a warmth, a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Just like David said, we don't know where David's heart was or where it may have been pulled to in the temptations and in the hardships that he faced. But the Lord restored his soul. What a beautiful depiction of the Lord coming to us and putting us on His shoulders and carrying us back and restoring us because He loves us. Folks, on this Thanksgiving Day Sunday, we have so much to be thankful for. Have you ever thought about the Lord restoring your soul? Have you ever felt like you were far away and whatever happened, then you felt close to Him again? Thank God for that refreshing when it happens. But I will encourage you to not let it happen or do everything you can to begin with. Because regardless of the circumstances, the Lord is always with us. And this ties into Thanksgiving in this way. Our attitude. When we count our blessings, when we have thankful hearts, when we say, God, thank you for the little things. You know, there's a series, The Chosen. Probably most everybody here has seen at least a few episodes, if not all the episodes of The Chosen. The one thing that sticks out to me in that I do really like is how they give thanks over each and every little thing. You see, God wants us to have a thankful heart. Because the power of a thankful, grateful heart can do so many things. Especially at Thanksgiving. I pray that you will have a thankful heart. But I want to give you a list here of 8 things that a grateful heart can do. A grateful heart reminds us that ultimately God is our provider and that all blessings and gifts are given to us by His hand. You deceive yourself if you think anything different. Are you thankful? A grateful heart, it gets our eyes off ourselves and helps us put the focus back on God. How much more of a blessing can we have than when we start thinking about God and not ourselves. You see, an attitude changes right then when that step is taken. It reminds us that we are not in control, but our Father, the Lord Almighty, is. And so as David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, He loves you, you are the sheep of His pasture, so you are under His control, you have no reason to fear. You have no reason to be cast down. The Lord is in control, and He is your shepherd." David said, "He makes me, and He leads me." And folks, so it is true for us. The Lord is always in control. It keeps us humble, a grateful heart will. It keeps us humble as we recognize our dependency on Him. How do you think that cast down sheep felt when the Savior came? You see, we are dependent on the Lord. Again, the world will try to tell you, "Oh, no, you're not. You're a man or woman of your own making." No, you are a man or woman of hard work and blessings that the Lord presents in your life that you may pursue and fulfill. But it is the Lord that gave you life and gave you breath and gave you the acumen and the ability to think logically, and the ability to be privileged to have education, the ability to live in a country where you are free to pursue such things, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You see, all these blessings come from God's hand, and we need to be thankful for it. Keeping humble recognizes our dependency on our Lord, our shepherd, our provider. A grateful heart helps us to see we have so much to be thankful for, including the little things that we oftentimes take for granted and we fail to thank Him for. We've got four little children here. What blessings they are. We remember our children when they were little. What blessings they are. We have the gift of life. There's so much we have to be thankful for. How many of us, let me see a show of hands, how many people here love the fall colors? Have you ever stopped to thank God that you're not colorblind? You see, it's the little things that we take for granted. Stop and thank the Lord. It makes us humble. It makes us thankful. Another thing that a grateful heart can do, it makes the enemy flee. You see, when we're thankful and we're grateful, it draws us closer to God. And when that's true and the Holy Spirit is welling within us, Satan's attacks are worthless because they will not draw us away from the Lord. It makes the enemy flee when we give thanks and honor God. Another thing that a grateful heart does is it opens the door for continued blessings. Because when we are thankful and we are grateful, it brings us closer to God and we keep His commandments. When we are humble, we have grateful hearts. The Lord restores our souls, folks. So, I just want to ask you, and I know our time is up. Where is your heart today? Are you thankful? Who are you following in life? Are you pulled by the social influences that all these people that count the many millions of people that have all these followers? Are you following the Lord Jesus Christ? Is the Lord your shepherd? There is no greater blessing in life than to follow the pathway that the Lord will lead you in. I pray that you will. Now, folks, we've run out of time, and I have a story that I want to read to you, but I'm going to save and read it now at the opening of our next service. But when you want to think about the example of a thankful, grateful heart, this next story just epitomizes that. So I pray that you will all stay to hear that, because it is an amazing story. Now, folks, we're out of time, and I know we've got to prepare lunch. So, Brother Mark, I'm going to turn the services over to you. And in just a moment, after we sing "Count Your Many Blessings," I pray that that will sink into you. And then after we sing "Count Your Many Blessings," Sister Dale is going to come and read a memorial to Brother Clay. And I pray that you will reflect on the blessings that Brother Clay was to all of us.